Well, welcome. Today is, of course, a first Sunday. We're all aware that it's the first Sunday, of course, of the year. January 1st, the first day of the year. But that also means it's a first Sunday, which, if you know our traditions in this church, one of the things we do together is celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper together. And we're going to do that just a little bit later in the service. You may also be aware that communion is also referred to as the Eucharist, that for which we are thankful. The giving of thanks is what communion is all about. And I'm going to invite you this morning to make that spirit of giving thanks the focus of our time. As Pastor David pointed out, it was just about a year ago, the first Sunday of 2016. It was actually, I think, the third of the year. But on that day, we celebrated the beginning of a new year as a new church. We worshiped. We celebrated communion on that day. We rejoiced in the spiritual unity that we have as a people in Christ. We also noted that morning that with the coming of the new year of 2016, we had also experienced our first loss as a church family when Connie Ischia, one of our founding members at Wheaton Baptist Chapel in 1949, which then became First Baptist Church of Wheaton, which then became Streams of Hope Church, which then joined with First Baptist Church of Gaithersburg to become the Unified Cooperating Church, also known as the New Fun Church, and eventually chose the new name of Pathways Baptist Church in February. Wild, just to think about all those names, the journey that we've been on. And just in the past year, how much changed. Now, there's been a lot of talk in the past few weeks, and especially the past few days, about saying goodbye to 2016. Or, in the words of some, good riddance to 2016. It just depends on your perspective, I guess. Putting that behind us and embracing 2017 with the focus being on those new resolutions that people are so fond of making at this time of year. Can I ask you a favor? Can we just hold off on that for a minute? If you're one of those people who looks at 2016 as a burden to be buried or a disappointment to be forgotten, my heart goes out to you, but I have to tell you, it is my purpose this day. I want to fulfill my responsibility as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and as a pastor of Pathways Baptist Church and offer a word of reproof and correction to that spirit for just a moment. And by the way, this may be the gentlest, most gracious word of reproof you've ever received. I hope you will find it that way. But before we leave 2016 behind us in the rearview mirror, I want us to pause for a moment and really reflect, give thanks to God for what He did in our midst this past year. I kind of want you to have the spirit, like I know a lot of families have this tradition at Thanksgiving where you make everybody go around the table and say at least one thing they're thankful for from the past year. That's kind of the spirit I want us to have. I understand 2016 was not a year in which everything was perfect, but friends, my goodness, how ungrateful we would have to be not to have noticed the many, many blessings of God among us this past year in our church. And though we have mentioned them from time to time as we pass through that year together, I want us to review them for just a moment and give God thanks once again for just a few of those blessings, because as I began to write them down, there were so many, I could keep us here all day, and I was reminded as we came in that it's not my purpose today. So let's just think back, because you know, when we voted to merge in December of 2015, and as we came together at the beginning of January 2016, even before we chose a new name, both of our founding congregations agreed on a very strong statement that came out of the merger exploration team, and it was simply this: the merger is not really about us. It is about the mission of God. It is about the next ones that will be reached, the new people that God wants to bless, touch, call into His family, to be a part of this church, to be a part of His church. Especially those newly decided folks who had been baptized into the good news of the faith of Jesus Christ. To celebrate Christians who were urgently seeking, longing in their hearts to find a place to belong and grow and mature as disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what we came together to be about. And so today, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to do my best. I want to just call some names out, our new members and baptizees from the past year. We want to give God thanks for Michael and Donna Dreis, for Nadine Nakla, for Patrick Mensa, Margaret Jimmy, Parker Pillsbury, Dominic and Mihai Mwepu, for Adetobi Adewale, for Jeffrey and Justine Kasamba, for Allison Fogarty, and for our young folks who were baptized, Emily Barros, Jane, Janet, and Christopher Egalibo, Braden Fogarty, Misali Mimi Mutsos, and Parker Pillsbury. What a blessing, amen? Let's give God some praise this morning. Folks, that's what we said we wanted to be about. I've told you this before. Let's be humble. Let's be grateful. But let's remember, if you list every Baptist church in America by name on a sheet of paper and you go to the middle church on that list, you know how many people they baptized last year? Zero. Zero. More churches, more Baptist churches in America last year baptized zero than baptized even one person. You are blessed to be a part of a church where God is working and where people are saying, God, is not about us, it's about the next ones. Thank you for the leadership who has helped provide that focus for this new church at Pathways Baptist Church. And let's be very, very clear that the focus, the mission of God, is not just about what happens inside this building or even inside the Pathways family. The mission is about this amazing, diverse community in which we are blessed to live. Named this year the most diverse community in America, it's where Pathways Baptist Church finds itself. This is our Jerusalem, to use a biblical term. And we are blessed. And Jesus commanded. Please note that word. He did not make an observation. He did not proffer a suggestion. Jesus commanded that we be His witnesses in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The mission demands it, and we are here for the mission of God. That is our calling as Pathways Baptist Church. So, I want to celebrate with you this morning that in January and February of 2016, before we even got around to choosing that new name, we already were doing our first big joint mission project. We did the major food drive as a part of our super, S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl emphasis. We worked with our partners at Gaithersburg Help, our partners at Mid-County United Ministries, along with City Gate Ministries in downtown D.C. That's how we started 2016, with a vision for the world, our Judea, as it were, the broader area in which we live. In particular, as you know, the City Gate mission that we're working with in that situation, that partner is working with underserved children down in D.C., particularly in the Anacostia area. And as a part of that work, as we shared with them, we decided to give a special grant to them to help purchase a van. It completed for them the purchase of a van that they were able to use to reach out to kids all summer long in their ministries to children in Southeast D.C. and across the region down there, a work that is a part of our Judea, but it's very hard for us to do personally. That's why we partner with great ministries like City Gate. It was awesome. And we have received so many thanks, so many just celebrations of God's goodness for this church family's role in helping provide that. I talked to their director very recently, Lynn Bergfalk, remains so grateful for the partnership of Pathways Baptist Church. And then beyond Judea, we went a little further. We went to, well, Judea, we went to Jamaica. I don't know if it was we didn't understand the word or somebody wanted to go. No, we went to Jamaica. We have a number of members from that country. And we went there to provide shelter, to build homes, to connect with an orphanage ministry that's already there doing its work. This church provided scholarships for young people and for others to go and be a part of doing that mission work, putting a roof over the heads of some folks, bringing families back together who'd been separated because they didn't have a place to live. That's the work of God, folks. That's the mission of God. Awesome, awesome. To close out our summer here, as I thought back, we hosted one of the biggest ministry events that we've seen for a good while around here. We hosted that community block party, and there were a lot of great things that happened with the block party, but I just want to say this, just real honestly, as a pastor of this church. Yes, we sought to be a blessing to others, but as quite often happens, you get a greater blessing than you give. And I just want to say it was in that block party, and I want to give my thanks to the outreach team and Pastor David and all the folks who worked on that. Because creating something that big made it a necessity to work together. And I saw our merger completion process take about 10 steps forward because people had to work with somebody whose name they could barely remember. Because it was a new person in their life, a new partner, a new church family member that they had not always worked with before, but now we're together as one. And a lot of friendships got a lot deeper by putting in hours of work and preparation for that and the execution of that great event. God, when you do something like that, you see how God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than we ask or imagine, you see. We thought we were doing something for the community. God was making us and shaping us into the community He wants us to be. And folks, that's always how it has to start. People don't come to join a fight. People don't come to help pay the bills. That's not what it's about. It's about being on mission for God. If you want your church to grow, let me make a suggestion. Quit whining. Quit complaining, quit being distracted, quit being lazy. Whatever your thing is, we've all got them, amen? All God's people got issues. Lay those things down and get busy for God. Get on mission with your brothers and sisters here at the church family. When you do, you find it's awesome. That's the only word I can think of. And then there was the Christmas time this year when we had a lot of mission ministries in the church come together. The Good News Prison Ministry came together with our worship choir ministry at our missions team and our youth and children's ministries, and so many volunteers came together to minister to prisoners and their families. The choir, yeah, it was, to God be the glory. The choir actually went into the prison at Clarksburg, presented the very same musical that we presented here, the music. We sang it with all our hearts. It was a joy. The following weekend, the children of those prisoners came here and received gifts that you all in the church family went to the trouble of shopping for and paying for and donating and wrapping and then coming here and serving and helping little kids do crafts and feel loved. And folks, that is the mission of God. The little children Jesus himself talked about. The prisoners that Jesus said, when you've done it unto them, you've done it unto me. It's awesome. Let us give thanks. And I think you heard Pastor David mention, we sent part of a cooperative mission team to the Philippines. They just got back. Pastor Clark is back there working. If he's asleep at the end of the service, it's not because I preached him to sleep. It's because the man has jet lag and is waking up at 2:30 in the morning still right now. So But for Clark and Nalva, for Chris, John, Danielle, thank you all for serving Jesus. Thank you for representing Pathways Baptist Church. Thank you for doing it with evangelism. Thank you for doing it with compassion ministry. Thank you for doing it with national partners, which is the only way to do a work overseas. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. God is awesome. Let us praise Him for His mighty and generous gifts in 2016. And those are just a few. I mean, I thought, what else should I mention? And I just jotted down a few things. Like, there was the dinner fellowships, something simple that helps people get to know each other in while they're being graciously hosted in other people's homes. The choice of a new name and logo for our church, the new directory for the church family so we could get to know each other, summer camps for children and youth, times for working on our mission, vision, and core value statements, including a great picnic or two, a great vacation Bible school, the blessing of our new internship program with three great young men in J.P. Leroy, Glenn Spaulding, and Franz Daniel Williams, one of whom then God continued to provide on our church staff. Daniel, wave at us. What a blessing to have FD on our staff with us. Wow. And then there was our continuing mission partnerships with great missionaries in Kenya and Germany and New Zealand. And then fun stuff, we celebrated our first Pathways wedding with Anthony and Rebecca, who are usually over here somewhere. Where you guys, back there. Our first Pathways wedding this fall. And then a little thing you might remember when we all got together and experienced liberation by paying off the multi-million dollar mortgage at the end of September. So we faced 2017 debt-free as a church. Hallelujah. And then there's the blessing of our ongoing work with our ethnic congregations that meet just down the hall in the chapel. The Lai congregation that's been here so many years, Pastor Roland, what a phenomenal group of people. What a great man of God, a wonderful leader, a humble servant of Jesus Christ. We are so blessed. And then last night was the first official service for the Brazilian Baptist Church with Pastor Carlos moving here, relocating here. They did a watch night service. So we discovered that our alarm does go off when people are here late at night. And so thanks to Tim for taking care of that last night. They were very grateful. But they came and did a watch night service to celebrate a new world opening for them as they move to Gaithersburg and locate here, where so many Brazilians and Latinos live in this community. And for those of us who came from the Streams of Hope First Baptist Wheaton side, we worked with this congregation for about 6 years as they lived with us in Wheaton for a few years. And we are so grateful to God that we are joyfully reunited in His work here. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. It is incredible the blessings of God in just 1 year. As the scripture says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. That gift, of course, is Jesus Christ, and then through Christ, all those blessings that we have received. Of course, integrity would demand that we should also be honest about the difficulties of 2016. The most important thing we should say about those difficulties, especially as Christians, and I was absolutely thrilled to hear, said in our children's sermon today. It's a simple, clear truth of Scripture. The best thing about our difficulties in 2016, we did not face a single one of them alone. We have a God who never forsakes us. And we are blessed to be part of a Pathways family so that we can help one another. As the Bible says, all parts of the body are vital. They're all important. Or to use another metaphor from the scriptures, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. You and God and somebody else here praying, partnering, working alongside you. We sometimes use that verse to talk about marriage, but marriage is not the only situation in which that cord of three strands is a true biblical metaphor for life in God. There is strength as we share one another's burdens. And in 2016, we had our share of burdens. By definition, the merger of two church families into one meant that significant change was coming. And I couldn't decide what was the better word. I wanted to say, and we were all informed of that ahead of time by the Met, or we were all warned about that ahead of time by the merger team. They knew. We all know. Change is hard. It's hard. It's not easy. It feels like a burden sometimes. So knowing that it's coming doesn't make embracing change easier. But we saw those changes coming somewhat. Far harder, in my view, were the changes, the burdens that we could not foresee, including the passing of a number of beloved folks in our church family, our extended church family, as well as the increase in the number of folks who are fighting various serious physical ailments. And I was giving some thought to that, saying, God, how do we give thanks, right, in all things? And it came to me that, in fact, although those kinds of losses are almost always, they almost always feel overwhelming, especially for the families involved, upon reflection, it is my view as a pastor of this Pathways congregation that, not unlike the block parties effect, it was the memorial services this fall for two dear friends in particular, for Catherine Duzer and Carol Campbell, services very close together, that were such an important part of our bonding process together as a church family. You know, there are things you get when you go through joys together, and there are things you can only get together as you walk through difficulties together and face heartbreak together and weep and pray and support one another together. And it was in those weeks that we were going through, it just seemed like so much bad news and difficulty and loss, that I saw again how God was bringing his family together, demonstrating clearly, demonstrating powerfully, that we are no longer two separate congregations, but we are one Pathways church family. And it's interesting to me how God uses good circumstances and difficult moments to shape his people as his church. And so, in light of all of those events, those blessings, and those challenges, I think we as a Pathways family can and should, with integrity, look back at 2016 and be awed, be amazed, and be grateful. Let us give thanks to God for his indescribable gift. Now let's turn the page for a moment. 2017. I'm not going to preach a second sermon. I just want to give you a brief word about 2017 and this year ahead. And there was no better passage in my mind for setting the tone for the year ahead, the path, as it were, for the Pathways family in 2017 than Colossians chapter 2 that Pastor Paula read to us earlier. She read verses 6 through 10 as I asked. I particularly would ask you, if you have your Bible, you want to take a look at it. Verses 6 and 7 are so key for what I want us to think about in the start of the new year. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, or some versions, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. 2016 and for 2017. I love this passage. I am so grateful and I rejoice in the good start for Pathways in 2016. I rejoice with those who were baptized, bearing witness to the new life of Christ that they have received. And I rejoice that many others received a stirring of the Holy Spirit within them so that they were saying afresh to God, here am I, send me. people who are saying, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," who are saying, "Lord, when did we see you sick or imprisoned, and when did we visit you and care for you?"
See,
this is the work of God in us through his Holy Spirit, calling us, folks, to a deeper maturity, calling us to walk deeper into that life with God in Christ. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, overflowing with thankfulness. What great words. What a great word from God. So, here's a word for 2017. My encouragement to us as a church family. Having partaken of the milk, let us sit down to some real meat. Now, I know there are some folks in the body who lean vegetarian. I'm not talking about that kind of diet this morning. I am using the biblical language about spiritual meat. Moving on from starter issues and starter things and starter preferences and all that kind of stuff. Starter thinking is how I would refer to it. He talks about human philosophies. I think he had a little more evil intent in mind, but I think it's also true we get distracted by all kinds of things. We start thinking that milk is so great. And the Bible says, move on, grow up, go deep, get into some meat, grow up spiritually. Now, let's get the order right. Do you have the scripture there in front of you from verse 6? Paul says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. You know, I timed it. Reading verses 6 and 7 for me in English takes me about 5 seconds. If that's all you do and you think, I studied the word, I read, so just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so continue in him, walk in him. Boom. You think that's studying the word? That's milk. Meat is saying, what does it have to say? Go deeper, folks. Dig deep. Do you see it? Look at it right now. Look at those words. Just as you received what? Christ Jesus as Lord. There is meat here. As the great Baptist preacher of an earlier century noted, Spurgeon, that great preacher, he said, this one whom we have received comes to us in these three expressions. Have you received him as Christ? You say, well, of course I have. Really? Have you given thought deeply to what that means? Has your soul ever grasped the fact that he is our Heavenly Father's anointed, chosen Son, sent into the world to be the Lamb of God, ordained for that role before the foundations of the world were laid for you and for me. Chosen for you and for me. He is our Christ. Have you received him as Christ? As the Christ, he's God's anointed one. He is the great high priest. Do you understand? He is the one who makes that intercession for us. He's the one who's opened the door to God for us. Have you received Christ? He is Christ the King, greater than any King David. He was from the line of David, but he is greater than any other king. He is the chosen one. And Paul is saying we must all accept this one as the Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one. Then you and I become his anointed ones through the Holy Spirit, who is sent by Jesus himself to dwell within us. And therefore, that's how we receive him as the Christ. This is why we say there is no second blessing of the Holy Spirit. You get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ sends him when you receive him as the Christ. You must receive Jesus as Christ. But not just as Christ. You have to receive Christ Jesus. All right, we just came through Christmas. You shall call his name Jesus. Well, Emmanuel, God with us, but you call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. You must accept Christ as your Savior. Now, you might think, well, of course. I meet people. I have met people who don't think they need one. I'm not a bad person. I do my best. Why do I need a Savior? I've never intentionally hurt anybody. I've never owned slaves. People go to all kinds of crazy places, say all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't need a Savior. I haven't done all that stuff. I just make little mistakes, but I don't need a Savior. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Justification comes from receiving Christ as Jesus, the one who is our deliverer. He shall deliver his people from their sins. You need a deliverer. We need Jesus. And my prayer in 2017 is that you and I may be daily delivered from sin, from its guilt, from its power, as we receive Christ Jesus. And then we receive Christ Jesus as Lord. You've heard it said, I'm sure. If Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Lord means Lord. It means the big boss. Dear friends, for too many years, I can tell you, as long as I can remember, I grew up in church, and as far back as I can remember, I have heard people talk about and warn about this viewpoint, that people may want Jesus to get them to heaven. In that sense, they want a Savior, but they're not really looking for a Lord. They want his benefits, but they don't want his demands, his commands. They don't want to have to obey. Yet from the very first days of the church, after Jesus ascended and the church was formed in Acts 2, God has made this Jesus, what does it say? Both Lord and Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord, deliverer and boss. And you can never receive Jesus as Christ or Lord. You receive Christ Jesus as Lord. There is no alternative. There is no other option. Receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And then what does it say to do? I love the King James here. It says, you received him, now walk in him. Which simply means continue to grow up, continue to live in him, mature in Christ is another way to say it. And how do we do that? Listen to me. Forget the milk, go for some meat. Don't just read the sentence and move on. What does it say? Live your lives in him, rooted. Dig deep. What does that mean? Christ got to be your foundation, the source of your spiritual nutrition. What does a root do when it says you're rooted? A root secures the tree. It provides that firm foundation, and many of you have heard the illustration, strong trees interweave their roots with the roots of others. Be rooted. That's what helps us to grow. And the other thing the roots do, oh, somebody tell me, where does the nutrition come from for the tree? Through the roots. You ought to be rooted in Christ. Your nutrition can't just come from Pastor David or Pastor Eddie or Pastor Paul or whoever stands in this pulpit giving you already chewed over food. Dig into the Word. Take some responsibility. Grow up and mature in Christ. I do not mean that in any way to be offensive. I am grateful for the education I've received, and I'm grateful for the calling that allows me to try to help my brothers and sisters do my part and use my gifts in the body of Christ. I don't demean that in the least. The same thing would be true for small group leaders and Bible teachers and Sunday school and all that. Everybody has those roles. That's fine. But you have to dig into the Word for some meat. Be getting your nutrition from Christ through his Word. Rooted. What else does it say? Built up Folks, the body of Christ is intended to grow, not to be stagnant. You say, well, okay, I want my church to grow. Whoa, whoa, whoa. When we talk about the body of Christ, the image the Bible uses of a body, if I had a hand that was growing to be three times the size of the rest of my body out of proportion, wouldn't you think that's a little weird? Yeah. For the body to grow, the parts grow together. We're not looking to have a giant right leg and a puny little old left foot. We want the whole body to be built up and grow. That puts it on all of us. It is the parts that then strengthen the body. Don't think you can sit there and not do and not connect and not grow and that the body of Christ will grow as it ought. You have to be growing and being built up. Then he says, established in the faith. Again, dig, what does that mean? Established in the faith means we have to learn the teachings of Christ. And then we have to live the teachings of Christ. We have to live and learn. Learn and live. That's what it means to be established in the faith. And one more, he says, we got to be overflowing with thanksgiving. Always with that attitude of gratitude. Aware that God's blessings come by his mercy and not by our deserving them, not by our merits. And so that brings us back to this table. I started by talking about how it can be like going around the table to say what we're thankful for. Now we come to the Lord's table, for which we have so much to be thankful. And in the spirit of this message today, I invite you to the Lord's table to participate in the Eucharist, the giving of thanks, to celebrate the Lord's Supper with us and give thanks to God. And while we do so, I want to encourage you to remember these words from our passage today. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. What a great description of our salvation. And if you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, you are welcome to participate in this with us today. We invite all of God's family to participate in the sharing of the Lord's Supper. But I love what Paul says. Look what he doesn't say also. He does not say, just as you struggle to become good enough for God. He doesn't say, just as you earned Christ Jesus as Lord. He doesn't say, just as you deserved the grace of Jesus Christ. He doesn't say any of that. He says, just as you received him. And folks, let's just remember right now. When you say it's all about receiving Jesus, what glory is there for the receiver? There's none. The receiver is doing nothing. It's the giver who's doing all the work. And that's what we're doing. We are receiving. We don't come to this table proud that we are God's people because we are so good and we earned it. We come to this table and we receive the cup and the broken bread. Reminders that we come open-handed and receive the unmerited favor of a Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Let us give thanks today that the Christian faith is a receiving faith. And what we invite you to receive today is none other than Christ himself. Let's pray together. Now, Father, as we humble ourselves in the partaking of this supper together, we again say, thanks be to you, O God, for your undescribable gift. Bless us as we receive and as we reflect upon your goodness this day. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.